He said, "Take a walk on the wild side." Written by Janie Tangerine. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, a song of ice and fire. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Jaime Lannister, Brienne of Tarth. Also tagged for cross-dressing, cross-dressing kink, gender play, plot what plot slash porn without plot, and woman on top. This podfic was created for Annalise O10 for ITPE 2019. Chapter 1. Wench, are you going to help me with this or not? Because I can't exactly do it on my own. Brienne would really like to answer the question. She would. But she's too busy staring at the corset and gown lying on the bed to come up with any answer whatsoever. A corset and gown that were definitely not made for her. Not that she'd even need a corset in the first place. A nice corset and gown at that, and matched, for that matter. The gown is a light green with golden embroideries, and the corset's laces are a slightly darker shade, but still green. She also remembers what happened a week ago, during one of the feasts they had to attend as the Lord and Lady of Casterly Rock are bound to, and the new dress that she was forced to wear because it was Jenna Lannister's gift looked even worse on her than most gowns she ever had to put on. Jaime had commented something about needing to send his aunt her measurements, if she was so set on gifting the damn things, and seriously, he would have looked better in it. Brienne had thought that he hadn't noticed her blush at his words. Fine, she'd thought about it for a moment. And it had been, well, interesting, to say the least. Surely the gown would have fit him a lot better. And now? Is this about what happened before the feast? You looked plenty interested when I mentioned that I could have been the one in it. And you actually want to... Not the first time it would happen, Jaime answers with all the calm in the world. He's shirtless right now, though he still has his breeches on, and Brienne can't even wrap her head around how calm he is about this. Not the first time. Maybe he wore his sister's clothes once? She thinks he told her something along those lines some time ago, but she can't remember right now. Well, fine. It was his idea in the first place. But now that she thinks about it, it would be... She'd like to see him in that dress. And wouldn't her old septa be horrified at that? Then again, her septa wouldn't have thought in her wildest dreams that she'd end up married to him. So, last time I checked, lacing a corset with one hand can be pretty hard. And he still looked like it makes no difference to him whatsoever. Brienne swallows and goes towards the bed, taking the corset in between shaking fingers. She can barely recall the last time she wore one, before joining Renly's army at least. Lately, she doesn't even bother with them. They only make her move more stiffly than she already does, And a corset won't be what will give her a generous bosom. Also, this specific corset is the kind that you lace from the front. All right. She can do this. She kind of really wants to do this. And if he does too, then why not? She takes a breath. Fine, she says. Nothing more than that. But he grins as if this is exactly what he had been expecting to happen. And he says nothing as she slips the dark green corset around his frame before starting to lace it up. She doesn't pull too hard at the laces, and she's close enough to him to see that his cock is stirring in his breeches. Gods, looking at that and then at the laces of the corset is making her head spin. And she notices, at the same time, that the corset itself doesn't look bad on him at all. He picked one that was obviously made with a flat-bosomed woman in mind, so when she ties the last knot with a small bow, well, it fits him. It's tight around his hips, but he doesn't seem to mind it if it's painful. Well, he mutters, apparently satisfied, that doesn't feel half as bad as I thought. It doesn't? Help me with the dress, will you? He grins at her before winking and pushing down his breeches. Brienne's lips go completely dry at the sight. Gods, how can he stand wearing just the corset and his small clothes and looking as if he doesn't have a care in the world? But she's beyond coherent words right now, so she goes and grabs the dress instead. This one has laces in the back, so when he's done putting his arms through the sleeves, she sets on the task of lacing it up. At least she doesn't have to look him in the face. She can take that time to calm herself down. Maybe. She's done in a short time, though. She ties another small bow over the last knot. She glances at the back of the dress. It's not tight on him, like most gowns she wore that weren't fitted for her specifically. She can feel her cheeks burn as she steps back, and Jamie turns on his front. Gods, he actually looks good. Right. Not like a woman would. But the dress isn't tight on the front, either. The corset makes his lips look slightly more narrow, and he's staring down at himself as if he's very, very satisfied with the way he looks right now. She's definitely blushing. She can feel it. Her cheeks are burning hot. And on top of that, she had dressed in her usual men's garb, which is, well, if her head was spinning before now, she doesn't even know what to think. Why, wench, you like what you're seeing? You can say it. You definitely look better in that than I ever would, she settles on. My thanks, but I'm sure that's not everything you have to say about this. He's right. Brienne has something else to say about this. Except that she's still not entirely able to put it into words. Do I really have to speak? She blurts as she comes closer, her hand going to Jamie's hip. She can feel the corset underneath, and she's sure that her own small clothes might be dangerously close to getting wet. I suppose not all knights have to sweet-talk their ladies if they make up for it in other ways, Jamie replies, still looking entirely too comfortable for his own good. So that's how it's going to be, Brienne thinks. But while her former septa would have been horrified if she knew, the thing is, she likes what she's seeing. She's liking it very much. She likes the way the dress fits Jamie perfectly. She likes that he's the kind of man who's willing to do this because he thought she'd like it. None of the people she ever thought she could or would have to marry in her life would have gone beyond fucking her without looking at her face, and she's perfectly aware of it. She likes that he's obviously enjoying the hell out of this, both the teasing and the dress, and there's just no reason she shouldn't let herself enjoy it as well. She puts both hands around his waist and kisses him without even bothering to reply, pressing him up against the wall, but not with urgency. His mouth is as familiar as ever, but the silk under her fingers is not, and it sends a thrill up her spine. And he moans into her mouth when she brings one of her hands behind his head. The kiss becomes faster as Jamie brings his own arms around her neck, and she's almost dizzy when they part. She can feel his cock pressing against her leg from under the dress's skirt, and it shouldn't make her think that fucking against the wall right now would be a perfectly good thing. Except that it wouldn't be gallant at all, would it? Am I making up for it? She whispers against his lips when the kiss is over. Maybe. I'm not easy to satisfy, though. That I knew, she says, not without fondness. And then, well, if he wants to play this game, who is she to deny him? Years ago, if someone had told her that her size would have been extremely useful in this kind of situation, she'd have thought them mad. As she grabs his thighs and lifts him up from the ground, and good for him that he still had his hands around her neck, she's of an entirely different opinion. He laughs against her neck after a moment when he clutches at her shoulders, and she's almost sorry that it's only a few steps until they get to the bed and she throws him, not too unceremoniously, onto it. He looks pretty pleased when he looks up at her and makes himself comfortable on the cushions. She's also sure that he has something to say, so she leans down and kisses him again, before he can even think of commenting on her knightly courtesy. She has better ideas. She keeps the kiss slow and long. She has no hurry to move soon. And when his left hand touches her right, while he tries to bring it behind her head, she stops him and tangles their fingers together. He doesn't attempt to move it away. When she breaks the kiss, his cheeks are slightly flushed, and she doesn't waste time before kissing the back of his hand. He looks very, very pleased at it. And one would think that gallant knights don't exist anymore, he says, before not helpfully thrusting his hips upwards so that Brienne can feel exactly how hard he is when his cock meets her thigh again. There's still one, at least, she replies, before grabbing the hem of the skirt with her free hand. If my lady agrees, I would try to make it worth her while. By all means, Jamie replies, as he stretches back on the bed, still looking like he's entirely satisfied with how things are going. Fine, then. She momentarily moves away so that she can get rid of her shoes and breeches, and when both are on the floor along with her small clothes, and gods, they were wet already, she gets back on the bed and grabs the hems again. Brienne raises up the skirt, throwing it over Jamie's chest, and then she takes off his small clothes without more ceremony. He's painfully hard by now, and she thinks she sincerely admires his force of will, since he hasn't touched himself once. She does that instead, her fingers closing around his cock, and he moans loud enough that if anyone is near their room, they will have heard. Not that she cares. She strokes it a couple of times to at least give him some relief. Far from her to make her lady suffer, right? He has his eyes closed now, his head thrown backwards, the dress still fitting perfectly against his chest. And Brienne is smiling to herself as she moves forward so that she's in a better position, and then slowly lowers herself down on his cock. She doesn't think she's been this wet in her entire life, or she can't remember it. His eyes open at once, and he looks up at her as if he's impressed, which is perfectly fine in her book. When he gives her a small nod, she takes a breath and starts to move. Slow at first, and she can't help noticing that he's not overtly thrusting his hips upwards or trying to fuck her, which makes her only smile a bit wider before grabbing the dress at the neckline and pulling him forward so they can kiss again. She can feel that he's close. She is as well. There's not a part of her body that doesn't need right now. And when she raises herself upwards again before thrusting down again in one motion so that he's buried deep inside her, he says something that she thinks is supposed to be her name before coming inside her, hard enough that his shoulders shake. And then he throws his left arm around her shoulder again, and she can't hold back anymore. She's clenching tighter around him and shaking all over with pleasure. Her hands reach for his sides, and she grasps fistfuls of silk in her hands as he curses against her neck. Then she's too far gone to hear what he says anymore. She comes to with Jamie still inside of her. He's sitting up against the bed's headboard, and the skirts are pressed up between them, probably getting wrinkled. His left hand is tangled in the hair at the back of her head. She feels good, and she really doesn't want to move. She also can feel stickiness on her thighs, but cleaning up doesn't seem a priority right now. "Is my lady satisfied?" she asks, trying not to chuckle. "Very," Jamie replies. He sounds out of breath. "Hells, wench, you'll never stop surprising me, will you?"
"I could ask you the very same thing," she replies, before forcing herself to move and rolling over to the free side of the bed.
She reaches out and grabs the hem of the skirt again before moving it down, so the dress is covering his legs again.
"It definitely looks better on you," she says.
"Oh, good, because I was thinking about wearing it again, all things considered."
"I suppose there's no way that you can wear your aunt's gowns next time, though."
"I'm afraid not, but if you really insist, I might in private, as long as you give me enough reason to. That said, could you at least unlace the damn corset?"
Brienne takes her time undoing the laces at the back, though. And as she works through the corset's knots so that he can take it off, she really hopes that he meant it. Because she definitely wouldn't say no to repeating the experience. Maybe that gold and red gown currently lying forgotten in the chest that his aunt gifted her before the wedding, that had never fit her, could have its uses after all.